Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I wish somebody had about just two more minutes. Thank you, Jesus, to just bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him. I know you may be busy, but I got to bow down and I've got to worship Him. Entering. I just want to forget all about myself and just bow down and worship Him. Bow down and worship Him. Feel your presence in our place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a consuming fire in this place. Can you feel His presence?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
ooh, you, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I just rejoice in the Lord today. Jesus, hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord today. Rejoice. Today is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes, Lord.
I will be glad. I will rejoice. I will get excited. I will go above and beyond the call of duty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just to say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, worship.
Oh, I bless you today. Your lines are open.
Worship.
Just open up your mouth and begin to just bless the Lord.
Worship. Worship.
Everybody, lines are open. Those that are on the line. Yeah.
Worship. Worship.
God, give him
just worship. Worship.
Done anything for you? I think that's Evangelist Phillips on the line. Hallelujah.
Worship.
She just had an operation about
worship.
Oh, hiya, no, shaya. I think
worship.
That's her on the line. No. We just thank God for
thank
bringing
you,
her out. Yeah, you don't know she is.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Just bless the Lord and thank him. Give him some glory today. This is not going to be
Jesus. A
narrow show today. Hallelujah. We just want to give God some praise
thank you,
today.
Jesus.
Forget
hallelujah.
About your troubles. And just
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Get an image of Jesus in your mind. Now,
hallelujah,
and begin to just thank him. Oh, God, as I was driving this morning, Pastor E.
Hallelujah.
You called me on the phone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was driving, and I just had to start praising God because what I was going through, it was trying to take me over. Hallelujah. My heart was overwhelmed, but the Bible said when your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock. Lord, sometimes we got to forget about our troubles. We got to forget about our situations. We got to forget about what we have and what we don't have. And we just got to give God some glory for who he is. Not for what he can do.
Hallelujah.
Not for what he already done, not for what he's doing right now, not for what he's going to do, but just give him glory because of who he is.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Go down and worship him.
Glory.
Oh, I just got to tell you, family, the Lord is setting you up today. If you're on this line, it is by no mistake. If you're on this line and you can tell somebody by shouting out the window, I dare you to go another step for Jesus today because he is going to do something in the midst of our praise, in the midst of our worship.
Hallelujah.
If we can just decrease of self and let him rise right now, he is going to show us. He is going to make it known to us, very evident. You know, it's a lot of times we hear God's word, but we don't see it. But I am here to tell you that he is going to show you the invisible coming to the physical through you today.
Hallelujah, God.
Oh, Jesus. I'm so excited, family. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, in the word of God, and we're just going to go from here and see what God does. But in the word of God, in Philippians 4:4, the word of God says, the number one instruction in that scripture, it says to rejoice in the Lord always. It didn't say, and that's in Philippians 4:4. It says rejoice in the Lord always. It didn't even put in there a slight differential that you could take your time off from rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes, God, I bless you.
And then he repeats it, and he says, again I say, rejoice. Just to give you a little bit more motivation to know how important this principle is in our walk, in our talk, in our life with Christ.
Mm.
Verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. When you begin to rejoice the Lord at all times, that means that the Spirit of God is on and about you everywhere you go. No matter if they black, white, purple, yellow, or any size or any different religion, it says that you can let your gentleness not be known to not just some men, not just Christian men, not just ugly men or good-looking men or women or vice versa, but to all. See, when we begin to rejoice in the Lord at all times, and remember, even when you don't feel like rejoicing, you must rejoice some more. Rejoice in your hard times. Rejoice before the storm comes. Rejoice while you're going through the storm. Rejoice when you come out of the storm. Then your life will now be exemplifying the life of Christ. The Lord is at hand. It says, now watch this. We get hurried up and we want to get out of line. But this is how we can stand and get in line with God. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything. Now, you know, we're being shown here that always, everyone, all men, and that we should be anxious for nothing. Because now here's the key part. Because we should let everything be known by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in our hearts. Now here it goes again. Watch. Let your requests be made known to God by your rejoicing. Because rejoicing is the key element to this principle. Now watch this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Say that with me. All understanding.
All understanding.
Will guard your hearts. Now, see, this is where it's important, because when we rejoice at all times, when we let our rejoicing show the gentleness of us to all men, and then through our prayers and our supplication, we will now be in right standing with God. Because now we've let our understanding die, and we know that it's His understanding that surpasses everything. Now, here's the good part. It will guard your heart. It will guard your mind. It will guard your heart and your mind through who? Christ. But finally, now see, this is where I see how God is opening, how He opened this thing up for us today. Because as we begin to worship Him, He says that we should rejoice Him through our worship, but here's some instructions on how to stay focused on exactly what the Word says to do, and that is to rejoice. It says, finally, my brother, my sister, whatever things, now here's another one of those words, those whosoever, whatever, all, anyone, but whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, half the battle is already won, because now we have clear instructions on how to stay focused, how to stay committed. And I know you've heard it before from me, but this is how we can eliminate options. Because now we rely on, first of all, rejoicing. I know somebody had a bad day today, and you barely wanted to call this number today. But I'm here to share with you that for all of us that had to go through our circumstances to get here, now is the time to rejoice. But on top of that, it would have been more important for us to rejoice as we were going through, because even though traffic was in my way, and even though people were trying to distract me, I had to rejoice in the Lord and then meditate not on the things that the world were trying to tell me, but I had to now revert back to the principle and say, well, you know, if I meditate on these things, all they have to be is true. So that takes a lot of things out of my options. Whatever things are noble, that eliminates this stuff over here. Whatever things are just, I don't even need to answer that phone call because I know that's not just. Whatever things are pure, ain't nothing he ever brought to me was pure, so I'm going to let him go. Whatever things are lovely, wow. You know what? I'm going to hold back on that one altogether. Whatever things are a good report, if they're not a good report of God, I don't need to be part of it. So now I can be focused on who? Totally God. Totally him. Now I can say, no options, and understand that there is a way that I can proclaim no options. Number one is that I must rely on the rejoicing power in Christ, that if I rejoice in him and let that spirit of him be in me so it can now show on the outside of me, now others will now witness, not by my mouth or not by what I wear or by what I say, but by what is in me. And now that gentleness of the rejoicing power of worship, of praise to something greater than me, now all men, it will be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. But we have to be anxious for nothing. When he comes, believe me, we will know it. But in the midst of that, we cannot get in a pity party or a waiting game when we can continually rejoice because the word says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, always to me would say continually. Always would suggest that means unceasing. Always could be translated into never ending. A never-ending worship, a never-ending praise, a never-ending glory to the Lord who is due all of our praise. So are you ready today to take it a little bit higher? Are you ready today to rejoice through all your mess? Are you ready today to rejoice when it just doesn't feel good? Are you prepared to be ready to rejoice before the storm even comes around the corner? Are you, and especially, are you ready to rejoice when the storm is all around you? And especially, most of us can say, well, yes, I will rejoice after the storm. But when we rejoice continually, always, that rejoicing just becomes a lifestyle. So no matter what you're going through, people that don't know you or don't have the same like spirit will always say to you, why are you always happy? You don't never go through. You don't have problems in life. Stuff doesn't, you don't have bumps in the road. Well, yes, we all do. But because we have a spirit of rejoicing at all times, now we all we do is exemplify the glory of God, even when it's not good. Because we know that the whatsoever that we learned last week will be given to us because we just rely on him to give us what we need, to give us what's necessary, to give us the desires of our hearts that come from him. So after the storm as we rejoice, we must continually stay in the presence of the Lord even when we won the battle. Because another battle is coming. And that's how when the spirit of rejoicing is in us and is continually, we can now, we head off the enemy already with praise, already with anticipation for the next thing or the next while that he could come. But because we stand firm on the word of God, we can now, we can dodge all the fiery darts of the enemy. But listen, here we go. We have to complete the principles fully. No more part-time studying the word of God. No more taking out only the parts that sound good to us. No more allowing ourselves to go unconscious and say, that's enough for today. Because the word continually shows me that if I will just get into a continual relationship that is nonstop, that is always ongoing, that now I can see the fruits of my labor. And my labor is in my worship. My labor is in my praise, because only thing that should matter to us is giving glory and honor to God.
Romans 5 and 12.
The word says, and we're going to go, it's 5, 1 through 12. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, meaning faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So when we can be justified because it's justified by our faith of not being able to see it, now God knows we trust him. We have, and then it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. Now watch this. Now watch this. Through him, we have access by faith. See, faith is the key, because with faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But with faith, you can, you will succeed in your relationship with God, because only by faith do we trust him. Only by faith do we believe that this word is his word. There's many people's name on a lot of these Bibles. There's a lot of different versions. There's a lot of different commentaries. But the natural word, when it was given, we have faith that, and we believe, we trust, even though we didn't see it written, we trust and believe that through faith, this is the uncompromisable word of God. We live it.
Okay.
We embrace it. We own it. We take ownership by it. So now, guess what? We've been justified because of our faith. That gives us a peace. Because now, as we are justified by our faith, see, our faith recognizes that we worship him even though there's nothing to worship for. If you looked in the physical, most people would look at, and you know, and I see it all the time. People on the outside will see me run up and down the street giving praise and glory. They don't see a new building or a new this or another opportunity. They don't see it, but because they see me acting peculiar, they will think I'm crazy. Because they don't have the same evidence or the same justification by the same type of faith. That's why, you remember last week I gave a little free hint about your own prayer closet and about your own holy ground that is you and God's place of dwelling. You cannot allow people into your area that do not have the same likeness in faith. You've been justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. But if you allow people to be in your circle that are not justified by the same faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to eliminate the power that's available to you in your ministry, in your life, in your marriage, just in your plain relationship with God. It's so important for us to be, we have to be managers of our spiritual relationship with God. Because so many of these nuggets in the Word of God show us that it really falls on us to be the ones to be the protector, to be the guarder, the centurion. I have to be a centurion over my faith. I have to be very conscious and aware that, you know, what's for me is for me. And those things that God says I'm supposed to share, it's my responsibility to where I sow that seed and where I sow that spirit and where I sow that ministry. Because my faith has to be connected with New Destiny's faith, or this word would not go forth with any power.
Come on.
See, I have to be in line and in order with what God has told her. See, it's not about me running the show. See, I'm sitting here to do what God told me to do for the woman of God. See, but I cannot do it if I'm not in line and in the same kind of likeness of faith. It would be worth nothing.
That's it.
You know, if you think going to preach at every church is what you're supposed to be doing, I would almost guarantee you today that you're wrong. Because just to go preach does not make it effective preaching. Just to get on the pulpit does not make it that you're doing what God called you to do. But when we connect with like faith and like minds and like commitment to going higher in Christ, now you can see God do some miraculous things. Because now we take God away from being the mysterious God to now becoming the miraculous God. Because most of us, I'm sorry, except for you perfect Christians, but most of us have been always told that, you know, that he's a mysterious, oh, he's a mysterious God. I beg to differ. He's a mysterious God when you look at him from the eyes of the world. See, as long as Peter kept his eyes on the miraculous God, he was able to walk on water just like God did. But when he took his eyes off the prize and he started to look at the things of the world, like the water, the sinking, the drowning, the wind, and all those things, when he got distracted off of the prize, he did what? He sunk. Meaning that we have to line up. We have to gear up with others that are in the same pull to wanting to do God's work, regardless if it's you on top or you on bottom.
Mm.
That's where we justify our faith through our relationship. Then we can know that you know, we have access to everything. It's right there in verse 2. Through Jesus, it says, well, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the end of 1. And then in verse 2 it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. See, there's that word again. You got to take a stand. You have to take a stand in your faith. You have to take a stand in your relationship with him. You have to take a stand and say, enough is enough. There's no more options for me. Well, you say, well, how could that be done? We're going to get there. You may ask, is it possible? It's possible. You may ask, can I do it? You can do it. You may ask or have questions roaming in your mind right now that will be everything negative you can think about. That's where we have to be stronger to say, enough is enough, mind. No more can you speak to me like that anymore. No more can you infiltrate my spirit, man, because I am going to be led by what God says on the inside and not what I hear through my ears or not what I see through my eyes or not what I smell through my nose or not what I taste with my mouth or not what I feel with my hand. But I'm going to rely on you and that spirit that you have put in me through the impartation of the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't get it, you need to get it quick. But by that relationship with God, we can now stand in order. And we can now don't worry about what battle's coming because we're going to look for the battle. Now, through him, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice. Oh, there's that word again. And rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And not only that, but also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations, now see, here we go. The principle has to be followed completely. Now, and not only through glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Meaning that the more you go through tribulations for God, the more you go through willingly and ready, able to fight the battle that is to come, you will now learn to persevere. Persevere means that you can go when the body says it's time to quit, you can push a little bit farther because you have a spirit of perseverance. Because it was now, it came from what? Tribulation. But then watch this. Now as you learn how to preserve, to be perseverance, now perseverance, and this is the word of God, and perseverance character. Now, as you learn to push and to go through, now your character will stop resembling you, but now will start to resemble him that's in you. But you gotta go through. You gotta rejoice as you go through. You have to be willing to step into it before it even gets there. That's why, you know, I said a couple weeks ago that, you know, I'm out there taking the battle to him. Because I know it's coming. I know he's not done trying to destroy or rob, kill, and destroy what God has in my life. It's, you know, recognize that today. See, when you recognize that it's not over, he's coming for you, baby.
Hey, Jesus!
Now, how he's going to come, that's a whole different story, because now in prayer, now in intercession, we can now see it before it comes. But get ready. It's going to come. That's why we want to provoke you on Fridays, because when it comes, you are already ready to fight. And then as you learn to be perseverant and your character becomes the character of Christ, you're out there looking for the battle before the battle even comes down the road. And guess what? So when you get character, now your character develops a hope that surpasses all understanding. Because now your character gives you a hope that the battle has already been won. The hope now gives you the recognition that greater is he that's in me than the evil that's in the world. Then it also shows you that the hope of glory is Christ, who is the conqueror. And the word says that we are what? More than conquerors. If that's not hopeful, I don't know what is. But see, now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Not on you, not in your pocket. It says that now that you, when you begin to go through tribulations and go through tribulations willingly, no complaining, no murmuring, no calling everybody up. Oh, man, why me? Why me? Get ready. Look, you chose to live the life of Christ, and that's a good thing. But in the midst of choosing this life, you got to get ready for the battle, and it's going to come. We have to stop complaining and begin to rejoice. That's why I say rejoice before the storm. Just already have your rejoice clothes on, because you know it's coming. You know, we have seasons, summer, fall, winter, and spring. And they're not supposed to have tornadoes in this one. They're not supposed to have this one in this one. And the different seasons have all these different catastrophes that can happen. But guess what? Sometimes when it's earthquake season, you may get a hailstorm. You got to be ready. Sometimes it may be winter and you get a tornado. You got to be ready, because you never know what kind of storm is coming. But as you're prepared, as you have your cellar built up with excess of all the necessaries to get through the storm, now you're ready to go through and persevere. And now you'll have a character of going through. And I believe that the more we develop our character like Christ, then we can stand in front of the enemy, and now we can proclaim the example that was left for us here on earth. Through who? Through Christ. Now watch this. In 6, for when we still thought, when we were still without strength, in due time, say that with me, due time. There's a time and a season for everything. That's why we shouldn't, you know, it says that we shouldn't be hasty for anything. That we should just take our time, calm down. Because in due time, when it's God's time, it will happen. You know, I hear cliches saying that, you know, it's not when I want it, but it's always right on time. Well, see, that's what we have to get away from, getting away from what we want. Because if we could just rely on the whatsoever that we talked about last week, when you follow the principle and you put it all together and you know that he's going to bless you with whatsoever, it comes when it's due time and season. Your timing is not God's timing. We're far off from the timing of God, and that's why these principles will get us a little bit closer to getting in line with him. Because God has already finished it. We're trying to catch up with it so we can get into the glory of his presence. But we have to make a change of the way we've done things. And we have to understand that the word has been given to us, not just to read stories and to know about, and it's good to know about David, Noah, and all the other things. I have the series of the Bible right now playing in the front room. And I love those stories. And they give me so much encouragement on how God was able to move through these men and women of God. But for right now, in this 0 to 5 seconds, I have to deal with my issues. I have to now get myself in order so now I can be in agreement with what God has already done through them. But it's about us right now. There's not going to be any deliverance from other people coming to help you. Just say, it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to her. It's up to him. It's up to all of us as a family of one to come together and encourage, to come together and to lift up, to come together and teach, to come together and sit and listen, to come together and know your role when it's your role and when you're supposed to do what God told you to do. But see, he said, even when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You can raise your hand now just like I'm doing, because just like they were ungodly, so were we. And he died for you just like he died for them. And what he did for them, he can do for you. We have access, the word says. Through what? Through faith. That you can speak and you'll receive. It says, make your request known to him. And by your faith, and by your rejoicing spirit, and your willingness to go through, that you can receive whatsoever it is that you ask. That has to be a dynamic revelation for someone. That's the word of God. For scarcely, this is verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone even to dare to die. But God demonstrates in his own love towards us. And this love is not merited. We didn't earn it. It wasn't because we did something to get in the right place for it to happen. It was just because he loved you. Just because he called you. Just because he chose you. Just because you are his child, adopted unto him through Christ. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, somebody's rejoicing right now for that, because that's a remember touchstone, remembering God's goodness. That's a touchstone that's reminding me, woo, I can give him praise because he died for me and I didn't even deserve it. I was still a sinner. But much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death, his son, but much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's done. No more questions. You can step in the role of the no options lifestyle because it's done. You've been given a new life.
Yes.
That's the word. That's the word. There's no more excuses.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I hate to be like this, but some people come and say, well, Pastor, I'm going, no. If you trust and believe in this word, there's no more excuses. There's no more options. We have to stand up and mean what we say and say what we mean and do what we say we're going to do. But we can't continue to do it the same old, same old, same old way. Now, the word says that through him, we've been given what? New life. No more excuses. No more excuses. So how does that transpire? How does that work, Pastor? Since now, through Christ, I've been justified. Through Christ, I've been given an opportunity to do the same thing he has. Through Christ, I have access to all the things that he has done. Then I would simply revert you to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew 4. Amen? Beginning at the first verse. Now, you know, we say, you're always talking about no options. Do you have any proof? You're always talking about, we can do it. Is there any examples? You're definitely always telling us to don't quit, to get up, to move, do something, find your purpose. Can it possibly be done? Well, hearing the word of God, because I'm searching to find the nuggets and the examples that Christ did so I can now learn those and maybe resemble the way he did those things and now be able to be victorious just like he was. Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the God, by the devil. Now listen, it was planned. He was led up. The word says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be. It didn't say that possibly. It didn't say hopefully. It says to be, meaning that it was already put in place that this temptation would come forth.
All right.
But he was led up to by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by God. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. See, first of all, he knew what he was going to do. But he also knew that it took some requirements of the flesh to be in the right place to do what God said he could do.
Because remember,
this was God in the flesh. He still had to deal with his fleshly body. Because we all know that God was that powerful. He could have snapped his finger in a snap of a second, and it could have been done. Right now, he could snap his finger, and it'd be over. That's how powerful and awesome of a God we serve. But he didn't make it that easy for us. He made us a choice realm people, that we could make choices, and we have to make either the right choice life or the wrong choice death. But he knew that he had a purpose to do here. This is one of the steps that he had to go through that he could now exemplify how to be about no options but options of Christ. Then when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Say he was hungry. Because if you don't eat for 4 days and 4 nights, you're hungry.
Trust me.
You know, and I have to even get better at the fasting thing. But to go 40 days and 40 nights,
we can't even
go 3 hours. We wanna have fruit in 3 hours.
That's
we wanna fast on Monday, eat on Tuesday, fast on Wednesday. See, he knew it took the completion of the fast. The fast had to be finished from start to end. There couldn't be any breaks. There couldn't be any options. There couldn't be any excuses. There couldn't be any other way but to do it the way God said do it. Because he could have just ended it right there, but he had to show us through example how we can do this thing. Tap yourself on the shoulder and say, we can do this thing. So when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him, he said, and he was bold because he knew he was in his role. He knew he had to go. It was set up that he had to be the one to tempt. He had the one to say, you know, just like you let me get on Job, they put me on that boy, and I bet you I could get him. So he was allowed to come. And when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But remember we said last week, there's a contract to everything. We have to be the ones to be willing to make the right calls, the right answers. We got to be willing to stand and make bold decisions. See, because he could have easily said, okay, all right, let me try. But he said no. But he answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Oh, come on now. He had already accepted the fact that bread was not going to feed his spirit, man, to be strong enough to give this answer. And he also knew that it wasn't the flesh that could win this battle. He had to rely back on every word, every suggestion, every option that only came from God. And he was able to succeed. But, you know, the devil's not going to give up then. He said, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him high on the pinnacle of a temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And he said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, No, my brother, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, now, look. He didn't take the stand of God. He took the stand of Jesus in the flesh. He took the stand that I cannot rely on my body. I cannot be relied on the temptations that come through my sense realm. I can't rely on the things of the world anymore just because it looks good. How many things have you eaten that tasted good that you know wasn't good for you? How many songs have you heard on the radio just because the beat sounded good, but the words was no good? How many people are in a relationship right now just because she looked good or he looked good, but a year later you found out that they really was not good? See, we cannot rely on the world. We cannot rely on the senses. And he showed us right there that we cannot go about our temptations. The things that make us feel good or make us look good, the things on the outside, the things that are tangible. If we rely on the things that are tangible, we will not be in line with God's word. Because he says right there, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. How are you going to put your mouth on the man of God? How are you going to say something that is not according to God's word? We can only do it according to what he said do, and that's the only way. But then here he comes again. He says, and the devil took him up exceedingly high on the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Now get ready, because this is where we're going. Ooh, Jesus. He said, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you. Now see, after you've already fought the temptation, after you went through so many battles, remember we said we must go through the battle, come out, because we now learn how to persevere. We now get the character of God, the character that develops the hope of God, that the hope will not, the hope does not lie. The hope will produce what God says it would do. But he says to him, he says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. But he said it very prolifically. I done been through all your little temptations and your trials. I've gotten so strong and so prepared to go take the battle to you that now I can tell you with my mouth, with the confidence of God, that you've got to get behind me. So no longer at that point do we fight the battle anymore, because now we just put it behind us. We just put our foot on his neck. We have now just eliminated the options of the enemy. No options. It can happen. He showed us right there. When you're tempted, rely on God's word. When you're tempted, rely on God's word. When you're tempted, rely on God's word. Because not once did he say, well, you know, I'm really God here, so you're not supposed to tempt me. No, he kept it as simple and plain as most uneducated man can understand. Rely on the word. No more relying on your suggestions. No more relying on their ideas. No more relying on what my boss said. I must rely on his written word. It's the truth. And the truth, what? Shall set you free. Enough has to be enough. Enough has to transform to a point of no options. You know, it's getting better, too. I'll testify that the more repetitious that I practice the word of God, the more easier it is not to even entertain the thoughts of sin. You know, here's a free one for you, and I know you've probably heard this before, but do you know you don't actually sin when you sin? You actually sin when you have the thought of sin. That's why our thinking has to be transformed, and that's where the battle has to be won first, because we have to stop having stinky thinking. We have to stop even going through the thoughts of sin by guarding ourselves by the word of God, because it was what? Written. Because it was proven. Because we have an example of someone in the flesh that walked through it without using miraculous powers. He did it. He did it so you can do it. He did it so I can do it. He did it so we can do it as a family, together, as one. So the next question is, okay, Pastor, you showed me an example, a prime example of Jesus, how he was tempted, how he was given every opportunity just to do whatever the flesh said do. But how do I get better at it? How do I improve this ability in my life that I can go higher in Christ? And I tell you right now, it's in the worship. Worship must be the unifying principle in our relationship with God. What is worship?
Worship is
a dedicated service, committed attention directly to God.
Can you say that again?
Worship. Worship is dedicated service, committed attention. That means our attention is committed directly to the truth of God. We must worship. Worship has also been defined as reverence offered to a divine being, something greater than you. A divine being for me is God. It's also been defined as extravagant respect.
Woo!
You know how you used to extravagantly respect your mama and daddy because they had that switch?
Extravagant.
See, that's extravagant respect. That means no matter what the situation is, you're going to respect them.
Extravagant.
You're going to respect them in such a high honor that anyone around would say, that must be your daddy. That must be your mama. Because you show so much extravagant respect. But that is what worship is. Worship is showing extravagant, Jesus. Not just patting your hip, hallelujah. No. Worship is extravagant.
Extravagant.
Meaning that you gotta do some peculiar things. You gotta look strange. You gotta look a little funny. Because you can't just do it in your normality. You can't be cute worshiping. And I know for the church wave, how we worship, but that's not extravagant respect. Extravagant respect. And guess this, worship is not about you. Worship benefits nothing for you. Worship is to God. Worship is saying, you know what? I know that you brought me from a mighty long way. I know that I can do nothing without you, but I can do all things with you. I worship you. Oh, I just saw an accident on the side of the road, and it wasn't me. I worship you. My kid got straight A's in high school. I worship you. My child, he comes home right after. I worship you. I have food in my cupboard. I worship. See, that's extravagant respect, meaning that in all that you do, because the Bible says what? Rejoice when? In the Lord always. Now my rejoicing turns into a worship. Because as I do things over and over and over again, they will become easy. And anything you do easy becomes pleasurable. Pleasurable will now be often. You'll do it over and over. And anytime you do anything repetitiously, easy, pleasure, and often, you've developed a habit. Now we can develop a going from rejoicing to now becoming a worshiper. And when you worship God in spirit and in truth. So I can worship him through the word, right? Because that's the truth. I can worship him in my prayer closet because that's the spirit. I can worship him at all times. I can continually have a praise in my mouth. So it's not all about us. It's about God. We cannot worship God in truth and have a personal relationship with him with us always complaining and wanting something from him. It takes away from the power of now when we become from rejoicing to worshipers. It takes away from the power and the anointing of God working in and through you. Because, see, worship is given to God to show extravagant respect, to show honor, to show that we love him. But now, in turn, he deposited his spirit on the inside of us. Because your word just said a minute ago, remember, that the hope and the spirit of God will guard your mind and your heart. That can't happen on the outside, baby. It has to happen on the inside. So as we worship him, as we worship him, as we bow down before him, as we elevate ourselves in our relationship with him and are allowed into his holiness, now God is worshiped, and he now delivers, he impartates, he puts himself in us. See, we have to worship the Lord through sacrifice, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. See, God wants your focused attention. He doesn't just want your part-time attention. There's three types of attenders. Or let's just call them three types of people. You have the number one, which God has called us to be, and that's focused attend. When he speaks, we listen. When he guides, we move. When he tells us to sit, we sit. Because we pay close attention to him. And those people have now joined the no option crowd. Because it is written that you can't tempt me because he lives in me. You can't offer me that because I've been offered much more if I just follow Christ. And then on top of that, you might as well go to get behind me, partner, because greater is he that's in me than the evil that's in the world. That is now the power of God on the inside of you operating in excellence because of the example that Christ has given us. Focused attention. Then you have another type of person. We call them selective attenders. They only hear when they hear their name. They only hear when it's something to benefit them. They only hear when they're going to get something out of it. It may be your blessing, but if they hear it and they figure they can get in on it, they now pay attention. I know some of y'all got some of them around you right now, but anyway, then a third. You have the pretend to attend. Pastors, you see them every Sunday. You have 75% of your members out there in the service looking at you eye to eye. And if you stop them after the service and ask them what was the last scripture you quoted before you enter the service, you probably get a blank stare. Because some people only pretend to attend. Oh, I was there. Or what was it about? I don't know. Girl, yeah, I was the first one. What was the subject? I don't know. Because some people only pretend to attend. But God is calling us to be a focused attend by eliminating options in our lives, understanding that through rejoicing in him at all times, it will build some things in us that will make us stronger, that will make us better, but will now develop us into worshipers. Got to worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Now here's a couple of definitions I want to share with you today. And these definitions are the prime examples to worship. Respect. Respect is the act of giving particular attention. If I respect you, I'm going to hear everything you say. If I respect you, I'm going to honor everything you say. If I respect you, be there to say it. I will definitely back you up because I respect you. But then to respect you means I have to give you my what? My attention. Attention has been defined as a readiness to attend, selectively narrowing your focus to what is important, being conscious. Now, conscious has been defined as that you are now, when you're conscious, you are aware on the inside of self. When you're unconscious, you are led by the things of the world. Spur of the moment. No plan. No focus. No attention. But when you become conscious, now you become aware. Aware means you're conscious, you're alert, you're awake, you're ready, you're on guard, you're taking the battle to him because you're aware it's coming. See, it can only be his way. You know, I've been told, the word says, that we serve a jealous God. If God didn't intend for me to be totally focused on him with no options of anything else, why would he be jealous? Word also tells us that we should serve no other God. If I could have five gods, then what would make the sense of me dedicating to one? No, he says you can only have one God. You can't serve others. He's jealous. Jealous means that he's intolerant of any rivalry. Intolerant of any rivalry. If there's something in your life right now that is taken away, I've said this before, but if there's something in your life that's taking you away from giving God all your attention, that may be another God. If you have something in your life, working a job, or something that's taking you away from doing what God calls you to do, you may be serving another God. But enough is enough. That's why we're here, to put those things behind us. That's where the old things become what? New again. Win now. Win now. Wake up. Get up. Find your purpose right now. He's speaking to your heart. So through worship, we started out as rejoicing. We became the rejoice crowd. But when you rejoice, tribulations will come just to test your rejoicing power. But as you go through, you will become more perseverant to go through. You will develop the character of God that will now build the hope of glory in you. Now, you can now become a worshiper. See, it's a process. Everything must be followed through. Throw an example out for you. A person used to go to your church 10 years ago. They moved away. You talked to them a couple of times. But about 5 or 6 years, you had no contact or anything. They come back to town. They walk into your church. And the first thing they expect is to walk back into where they left. How can that happen without knowing what a person has went through, what kind of relationship they have? See, you can't worship him sometime and then come back later and think you're going to get the same results out of that worship. You can't praise him on Monday and maybe on Sunday, and the rest of the time you're giving the world a praise, and you're wondering why the windows of heaven aren't opening up and pouring out blessings into you. The principles have to be followed. You can't just automatically become a worshiper. You can't automatically become a pastor. You have to go through the process of what the Word has told us to do to the fullest. You can't leapfrog the sessions. You can't eliminate this one. You have to take the complete Word of God and implement it in your life every day.
I thank you, Jesus.
Take up your cross when? Daily.
Daily.
That's telling me I have to be on point every day. Because if I have to put on a cross every day, if you remember what the cross looked like on Christ, if my Christ resembles his, I got something I got to be ready for in the morning. Because I have to take it up daily. I have to be ready. I have to be prepared. I have to be fully armored. No longer can we do it halfway, brothers and sisters. No longer can we procrastinate. If you want what God says you could have, there's no sin force going out there catching everybody. There's no prison. But there is the redemption of Christ that will come. And why not just be ready? That's my mindset. Why not just be ready? We don't know when he's coming. Why not just be ready? Well, we all fall. No, no, that's an excuse. I used to love that scripture too. But we all fall short. We've all sinned. Yeah, well, that's true. But that's an excuse. I don't have to anymore. I don't have to accept that anymore. I don't have to rely on the things that say that that's an escape route for me. That doesn't work for me. Maybe that works for you. But as for me and Miles, whoo, Jesus, I must. I have to. I have no other way but to serve the Lord. Not serving him my way. Not serving him your way. Not serving him somebody. I'm serving him what his word tells me to do to serve him. I want what he has for me. How about you? Is it time for you to also say, you know what? This young man is throwing some things out there that are pretty radical. Yes, I'm radical. He's throwing some very energetic things out there. Is he always like that? Yes, I am. Does he really walk the walk? Yes, I do, to the best of my ability, because I'm not willing to accept falling. So that's not even an option for me. Am I perfect? No. Do I go through? Yes. But here's the important part. Do I let going through make me go down? Or do I go through with power? Do I come out in rejoicing? Do I now let the worshiper in me overshadow everything else? Does it make me perfect? Does it make me any different than you? What it says is that I may be an example for one. That one is me. Because I got to get me right, just like you have to get you right. But as we begin to get right, we have to now share to get others right. There is no reason that we're not all promoting, not only Provoke Fridays, but every broadcast throughout the week. Every post is on my page without a problem. Because guess what? It's our job to open the door. That our example can be heard, that our example can be exemplified through what? Through our worship, through our extravagant respect to God. Okay, so now we went through knowing we got to rejoice. Rejoice will teach us how to persevere, and as we persevere, we get a character, and that character develops a hope, and that hope will now not return for it will now become life, and we've been given a new life through Christ, that now we can become true worshipers unto him. But now the bonding stage starts. The bonding stage means that now that you have entered into his presence, that now that you worship him in spirit and in truth, because the Bible says he's not a man, he is a spirit. That now when we join with him, we have to join him through certain stages, certain steps. Remember, everything must be followed to the fullest. But you cannot go to God and his altar without, number one, a sacrifice. You got to give something up, baby. If you're holding on to everything that you thought was good for your life, everything that makes you happy, everything that you're pleased with, you're going to have to give something up because it requires a sacrifice. That's why giving is hard for a lot of people because it's a sacrifice. We don't promote giving on our radio, on the radio, on video, or anything. A lot of people say, why not? Because I know God speaks to everyone's heart just like he speaks to mine. But I do believe we can manifest finances through business. So we rely on the gifts that God gave us to go forth. But you have to, on your own, without men and women of God asking for an offering, know that it takes a sacrifice of your giving to be in accordance with God's word. You don't need to get a plate all the time just to know that a ministry you may be a part of is doing good work. That means that's good ground. Give something. You know that it costs money to have a radio station. You know that it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a commitment of leaving, of not having anything else going on. Give. Don't wait to call and say, sister, can I do something? No, just give. Because that's a part of worship. It's a sacrifice. When you give unto God's people, it's a sacrifice of something because you could have went and bought a new shirt. You could have went and got some new shoes, but you sacrificed of yourself and you gave to God's people. That's a step in bonding. I'm going to say that one again. Don't always wait for the plate. If you're going to a church that you know is good ground and is sowing into your life, if it's a ministry, a church, a fellowship, a Bible study, or whatever it is, and it's sowing good seed into your life, give. Don't give because of any other reason other than making a sacrifice to God through worship that you want to bond with him. Number two, after you give it, and after you sacrificed, now you have to become relational with him. Him and you, you and me. John 15, read the whole chapter. If you abide in him, he'll abide in you. If you follow his commandments, abide in him, he'll abide. See, that's relational. Because you, first of all, sacrificed something. You had to give up something. Don't just jump down to the relational and think it's going to all work out fine and dandy. It takes the steps. You have to sacrifice. You got to give up something. Not only in your money. Let's back up the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Not only in your money, you got to sacrifice getting up at 4 in the morning when you usually don't get up till 7. That little 10-minute prayer before work, that's not worship. I hope I didn't step on no toes, but that's not worship. Sacrifice means that, you know, like a bodybuilder, they sacrifice their sleep because they want to get that gym in the morning because they want to be built up. See, those of us as Christians, we need to get this flesh together too, don't get me wrong, but our spirit man is the most important. So we have to make a sacrifice to get up at 4 in the morning so we can get an hour of worship, maybe 2 if he calls it, but we are so tight fit on schedule, we only give God a little bit of time. Instead of making a sacrifice. So it's not only money. It has to be a sacrifice of your time. It has to be a sacrifice of your life. It has to be a sacrifice of your money. It has to be a sacrifice of many things. But when you sacrifice, now God will relate with you. Because he sees that it's not about you. And believe me, the word says that the light will not be part of any darkness. If you're not ready, and you're not prepared, and you're not going through the stages and the principles to get there, we can't continue to expect to get the same thing. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep getting the same old thing. But if enough is enough, now we can now sacrifice some things that we can now become relational with him where he bonds with me. I bond with him. He sups with me. I sup with him. I dwell in him. He dwells in me.
Ah, glory to God. Thank you.
Then, when you develop a relational bond with God, it will now become processional because you can see it on the inside.
My God.
You hear women of God and men of God all the time saying, oh, the presence of God is in this house because we have a relationship. We've done the sacrifice. We've now related with him and bonded with him that now we can perceive him when you don't even see him. When God says, speak to her, that's God's hand showing me her. That's because I have now developed a relationship with him through relational bonding that now I can perceive him on the inside, that now I can do him on the outside. Deuteronomy 28:1, that if you will hearken diligently to the word of God, observe all his commands that he gives you this day, then you can do exactly what he said he can do. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, da, 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 da. But if not, you'll be cursed. And the curses go long. The curses go 30 more verses than the blessings. So, see, no options. We don't even want to have to concentrate on the curses. We just want to live in the blessings because we're going to do what's required of us. No options. We can do it. You can do it.
No option.
But it has to be a conscious choice to say, I'm not just going to listen to Pastor Ed on Fridays about going higher. I'm going to go higher. It's not just about listening to intercessory prayer and relational bonding and all, if I'm not going to take it and apply it to my life. There's a million sermons all over on DVD, all over the country, if you just like listening to preaching. But when you really want to change, you want to take the word and apply it. Not next year, not 10 years, right now. And it's up to us. It's up to us to now, through sacrifice, through relational bonding, through processional bonding, now the materialistic relationship with you and Christ will come to pass. You know, people always say, man, I can see Jesus on you. That's because you have now materially connected with him, that now the material flesh now starts to resemble the spirit God on the inside. It starts to transform you. When? Right now. Stop waiting on a long period of time for things to happen. We serve a God of now. We serve a God of immediate action. But remember, contract, you have to be immediate too. You have to be walking in the now too. To get the now blessings of God, you must operate with an expectation that it's already done. Here it comes. So when it does come, you just grab it, put it where it's supposed to go, move on with life because you knew it was already on its way. Not according to your desires, but according to his desires. Because when you relate with him, now and he becomes a part of you and you're a part of him, you don't think your way anymore. You think his way. You don't talk your way anymore. You talk his way. You don't even look your way anymore. You look his way. And then the power of God is where the glory it resides. Not on us, but on in us, that can now be given back to him through what? Through worship. See? Where you start, you must begin again, because worship must continue. Always. Never ending. You know, at church we say worship him in song, worship him in giving, worship him in word, worship him in fellowship. But it needs to continue. Worship him in family, worship him at job, worship him at the park, worship him at the gym, worship him at the grocery store, worship him at the laundromat. Worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him. But I hate to say it. Some of us got so much junk going on with us out there in the streets. If we worship him, they would call us hypocrites, and we don't want to get called no names. But that's where the choice has to be made to stop doing the little stuff. No options. The stuff you've been getting away with, stop it, quit it. No options. As long as you can do this. And that was me taking a breath in and taking it out. It's not too late. You can do it. But it must be activated by you and your faith, because with the word said, that's way back in John, that we've been justified by our faith. Your faith has to work. Your faith has to move. We have to let God do what God said he's going to do. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Number six. We have one more to go, and then we're going to take some time for our callers on the line. Praise God. But number six, we must understand that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is our loving Father, and that he is worthy of our praise. Deuteronomy tells us 6 and 5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And we're just going to end it on that, with your all. When you're going forth, put your all into it. Give him all. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your mind, everything. When you put your all into him, he'll put his all into you. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, Lord. We just worship you. We glorify you, Lord, that your word will not return to you void, Lord. But we ask you that your word come back to us, Lord, and to just exemplify your spirit on the inside of us, Lord. Give us what we need to make it. Give us what we need to survive. Give us more of you and less of us so we can do what you called us to do. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise.
Hallelujah.
In your son Jesus' name. Wake up, get up, move, find your purpose today.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Hamilton. We thank
yes,
God.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Word on today. Worship, worship, rejoicing in worship. That was some rich words. Glory to God. Woo!
And,
Jesus.
Just
and even
before we get into questions, just for the family that's listening, we will have a video up every Friday's episode. It will be on YouTube on that Monday. And Evangelist Bernard will probably pass out that information later on. But we will have something going on Monday that you can relook at it. And maybe get some stuff you missed. We'll have the scriptures and everything on there, too.
Amen. Give them the information to be able to go on and access those tapes, Pastor Hamilton.
It's on YouTube. It's under P as in Paul, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, R as in Roger, the number 2, K as in Kevin, the number 1-2-0-0-9. That would be Pastor 2K1-2009 on YouTube. You just push that in. It'll bring up all the videos we have on our page. And like I said, we the one from last week is on there already. This Monday we'll post the other one, and then we'll go from there.
Amen, amen. That's a blessing. See, all these y'all know all of this technology. I'm learning some of this stuff. I don't know all of this modern technology where you can paste, copy and paste and do all of this stuff. That's wonderful to have those messages on YouTube. You can go back and listen to them. And also you're able to visit our website at www.newdestinyministries.com, and you can also hear the messages for the entire week. So you can do that, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to the messages again in the archive. all of these messages from the initiation of this broadcast up until now. We've been on the air 16 months, and all of those messages are on the archive. Amen. So we
just Amen.
For Pastor Hamilton, I'm telling you, making a sacrifice to come on Provoked Fridays. He can be doing something else on Fridays, but he has made a commitment to come on to teach us, and that's a sacrifice, and God is going to reward him for the sacrifice of his time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we just bless the Lord for him today. We still have about 11 callers on the line. We want to open up the lines for any questions and short comments, and I think this is Evangelist Sharon Phillips, and we're just thank God for her. You know, she came through a successful operation, and we've been praying for her, and we're just glad to see her with us on today. So we're going to open up her line right now. God bless you, Evangelist Phillips.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. I certainly enjoyed Pastor Hamilton provoking me this afternoon. Praise the Lord. I give honor to God, who is my entire life. Praise the Lord. Without him and without being connected to the power source, the surgery might not have been so successful. But God was in the plan. He said he wasn't through
Lord.
With me yet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? I want to take this time out while I have the opportunity to thank Evangelist Bernard. She constantly checked on me. You know, that made me feel like $1 million or more.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. When people are down, hallelujah, and you just give them a call just to say hi, hallelujah, don't you know how good that makes them feel that somebody is praying for you?
Yes.
Praise the
That's
Lord.
Right.
So she made me feel extra special. Praise the Lord. And
hallelujah.
I just want to thank her and the New Destiny Ministry and all of you saints of God, all you men and women of God who prayed me through that surgery. Praise the Lord. I've been trying to recover. You know, I'm not a spring chicken, Pastor Hamilton. Hallelujah. Nor am I a plastic, a bouncing ball, because I can't bounce back like I used to. Hallelujah. You know, when you were young, you have situations and you get up out of that situation as fast as you got in it. Well, praise God. I can't do that now. I have to wait on the Lord to heal my body.
I'm there too.
Praise God. So I thank God for his miraculous healing. I'm yet healing. Praise the Lord. It was my endeavor to be on the line today. There were times that I didn't, because you know I'm taking this medication that I really don't want to take but is needed, and it makes me go to sleep. So I don't want to be on the line snoring to y'all while the message is trying to get across. Praise the Lord. So God bless you, Pastor Hamilton. I truly enjoyed you again. Thank you for provoking me on today, because I am a worshiper and a praiser. And if anybody out there know that worshiping and praising is two different things, praise the Lord. I love the Lord on today. I love you all. Keep me in your prayers, because I am yet healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
We love you, Evangelist Phillips, and thank God for everything that he's doing in your life. Thank God for coming and assist us and help with the switchboard. And, you know, anything we call upon and ask her to do, she's always so pleasant. And if she has the freedom and the time to do it, she does it with a beautiful, willing spirit. And that's what God looks at our spirit. He looks at our heart and the things that we're doing. So we just thank God for him bringing you through, and we could hear the in your voice. So God bless you. We're going to go to Sister Shaw, and then Sister Tammy, and then Sister Kim. So good to see you on the line. And then Minister Mims. We still had about 18 callers on the line today, Pastor Hamilton. So some of them have dropped off, and that's pretty good for Friday, because, you know, thank God it's Friday, and then they're doing some other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Those that have made the sacrifice to call in on today, we're looking for God to go take us a little bit higher with these Provoked Fridays. And I tell you, it's a blessing to hear Pastor Hamilton in the teaching that he does. You know, go back and listen to. Sometimes we miss things because we're distracted and some other things going on. And before we get back to the calls, we just want to thank Sister Ruby Larry for allowing us. We've been in our home all this week hosting this show and then kind of training her with the switchboard. And I just thank God for, you know, backup. Hey, glory to God. I didn't even think I was going to be able to make it on the line today, Pastor Hamilton, but God opened up a door and cleared some things where I was able to do just that. So we just thank God for that. So we're going to Sister Donna and then Sister Tammy, following her, Dawn, Sister Coleman, Minister Mim, and Sister Patrice still on the line. God bless you all.
God bless you, woman of God, and God bless you as well, man of God, and to everybody on the line, God bless you.
God bless you.
I enjoyed the word. I just really enjoyed how he, how you dissected the Philippians 4 and 4 and how you went through the scripture, the rejoicing and the praising. I know you can be ever so down in your spirit, but when you lift up the Lord will lift you up as well, and I just
yes,
thank
he will.
The Lord. Those teachings, and it just do make me, I'm going to go back and listen to it over and over
mm-hmm.
and over, just let it sink in so well, because I've been going through some things, and I know that really helped, that word really helped, and it taught me a lot. I never heard it taught like that. I never heard it, I never heard it ministered like that, and it really blessed my soul, and I think that was beautiful. Thank you so much, and God bless everybody on the line.
God bless you too, sister.
Amen, amen. Sister Tammy.
Oh, I just want to say thank you. And again, I thank God for Ms. Albertine for introducing me to blog radio earlier this week, and I haven't missed a day. And it's been a blessing.
Oh, God bless you. You went through a whole week?
Yes, ma'am.
That's exciting.
But it's helped me out a lot. I've been, again, going through some things, and it's been a struggle for me. And I really enjoyed the message today because everything I felt he was preaching on, I was going through or I'm experiencing at this time. So I felt like it was for me. So I thank you. And, again, I'm, too, going to go back online and replay it because I felt I missed out on some things. But, again, thank you for the word. And, again, thank you for the ministry. And I'm enjoying it. And I feel like I'm being fed, and I feel like things are getting better for me because of it. So,
hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You can't feed your spirit, man, and things don't get better. Hearing. And
yes.
Hearing the word of God. So as you begin to hear this word, it causes your faith to rise to a new level. She says she's been here with us all this week, and our destiny focus this week was the danger of division. And I tell you, you all need to go back and listen to these messages that was brought forth this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and yesterday. It's just been all God. I can really think that the Holy Ghost had his way this week, speaking on the danger of division. And it was just not talking about division, the divisiveness in the church body, but it covered everything, even in our natural lives. You know, some of us get mad with our biological sisters and brothers in Christ. You ever heard of families being divided where the sisters and the brothers don't speak to one another for 10 and 15 and 20 years, and then the mother or the father die, and when they come to the funeral or wherever, they can't even embrace one another.
Amen.
We can't embrace one another while we living. Woo! The Bible said the dead know nothing. So don't expect to come and have them to embrace you at a funeral when they can't even embrace you while you're living.
Amen.
Woo! glory to God. So those this subject this week, the danger of division, it covers some areas. It covers a lot of areas. And again, they said some of the speakers said. Dr. Singleton, he took a topic and he said, "Let us become constructive and not destructive." And that was Wednesday. Y'all need to hear that one too. Woo! God, the Holy Ghost had his way this week. That's all I can say.
Hallelujah.
Let the church say amen. Sister Kim,
amen.
So good to see you then, Minister Mim. And Sister Patrice, our phone is acting up, but she said, praise God, Pastor Hamilton, for that word. It really inspired and encouraged her today. Amen. So
amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Sister Kim, our Minister Mim.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This is Minister Mims, giving honor to God, giving honor to Evangelist Bernard, to Pastor, for the word, for everyone in their respectful places, Pastor Hamilton. I thank God for that word. That word was truly, truly awesome. I thank God for how you broke it down, you know, how you showed us the scripture, how God gave it to you to teach it unto us. I thank God for it because, you know, even through the test and the trial, sometimes we need to be reminded that we still need to praise our way through. We still need to have joy. And, you know, sometimes when you get down in your spirit, the first thing is not to pray or not to praise, even though that's what we should do, because as we get into the face of God and into his presence, that's when all the cares of the world are lifted up off of us. And that's when we're given a little bit more strength to go on. So it's good to just be reminded, you know, that we need to have joy no matter what it looked like, no matter what it feel like, no matter what it seemed like. So I thank God for that. And I thank God that's why we're all gathered together, so that we can remind one another, you know. So I thank God for that. And you continue to preach the word of God the way that God has given it unto you. And I praise God for the word. I praise God for the line. And you be blessed. God bless you.
God bless you too, sister.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Mims. I have my sisters right there in Houston. No, she's in, her daughter's in Houston, Texas. She's in Irving, Texas, Pastor Hamilton. This is my oldest sister. She's working sometimes, so I don't even know if she's able to. God bless you, Dawn. Dawn? Okay, maybe she's not able to say anything. Going to go to Sister Ruby Larry, and we just again thank Ruby for allowing us to come and teach her this switchboard and let us rejoice and fellowship and praise God in our beautiful home here. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor Hamilton and saints on the line. It was just a blessing, the word. And like she said before me, Minister Mim, it's always about joy, peace, love, and the Holy Ghost. And you went through it awesome. And always remind us, whatever's going on, still have to have joy in the Holy Ghost.
And
worship and praise is so different. So it's just been a blessing. So pray my strength in the Lord.
God bless you.
Amen, amen. We're going to give it back to Pastor Hamilton. Again, we just thank you all for tuning in. We want to again remind you, especially those in the Carolinas, Minister Mims and Apostle Johnson and all those in the Carolinas, call in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock Carolina time, which is 5 a.m. on the West Coast, and support my girlfriend and sister in Christ, Minister Billy Burns. Pastor Hamilton, she has a segment on Saturday morning called They Overcame. And I mean, she has been blessed to have some people to come on with some life-changing testimonies that, you know, you don't hear of every day, where people didn't have lungs and somebody donated lungs and kidneys and livers, and they are living, and they're out in the highways and the hedges and compelling men to come. I mean, powerful testimony, drug dealers and drug users, and God is using them him for his glory. Lesbians and homosexuals, gay men and all kinds of people that God has just given them a new lease. Hallelujah. And they've been buried in the blood of Jesus. I tell you, so to call in on that segment and support her, it's the same number. It's under the same umbrella of New Destiny Ministries. Her segment is just titled, They Overcame. And if you're not going to church or if you're at home and you have some free time on Sunday morning, join us for 30 minutes of early Sunday morning prayer. Amen. So we just thank you. We want to let you know we're coming to Raleigh, North Carolina for a citywide crusade on September the 5th through the 7th. So mark your calendars. Everybody don't get excited about what you get excited about. But as long as you get excited about Jesus, he'll give you something to get excited about in the kingdom of God. So God bless you. We love you, Pastor E, for your dedication and for the sacrifice that you make to come on Provoke Fridays. It's been a blessing, and I look forward to it every Friday. And I'm up early posting. Sometimes Faithful is not able to do my posting. So if she's not able to do it, I done already hit a couple of lines to post what we're doing today. Amen?
Amen, 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 amen. Well, God bless everybody. I just, you know, that dynamic what you were just saying about the people that the couple that does the program on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, I love church and I love fellowship, but I love people and for us too. You know, we were just talking about when we rejoice, we're supposed to let it be known to all men.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let people know about it if you're not out there where they're at.
Ooh.
And we gotta get out there. We gotta knock on doors. We must be the ones to go forth and make a difference. We have to be the ones to make a change because we're part of this new move,
this new
atmosphere that's developing. But we gotta get out of our seats. We gotta get out there, and we must share the word of God. We must go back to the first command.
Ooh.
Go before and make disciples. Now, as we get closer and as we get better, we must get out and get someone else. So Provoke the Purpose, Provoke Fridays is provoking you. Invite three people this week.
All right.
Not for the numbers on the line, but for the lives that may hear a changing word for right now.
Yes.
Because we make a difference when we make a difference in others' lives.
That's
when we let our lives be the example that stand on the promises of God and do not compromise, you'll see people come. You'll see people want to know more. But when they continue to see us like this on Monday and like this on Friday, words carry no power.
All right.
They got to see consistency in us. They have to see a repetitious lifestyle that we develop that represents and replicates Jesus.
My God.
Woo. And it has to be every day,
every
second, every minute, every hour of the day.
Mm.
We all have the same 24 hours a day. What you do with your 24 hours will determine your place and your position in heaven.
My God.
Now, that's powerful. It can be scary, but it should be motivating to say, you know what, I have to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're doing a lot now, but guess what? We can do more.
We can do more. Amen.
But we have to start doing the things. I remember before we talked about being managers of God's work.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be doing the things that he really wants us to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
In season, in time. But we've got to get out there, and we have to get the word out. So I'm down. I'm in Raleigh. I'm gonna be there. If I have to drive, no matter what, I'm gonna get there. We're gonna have an awesome time in the Lord. We're not gonna have a lack word. We're not gonna have a lack music. We're not gonna have a lack of nothing.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I don't know about the others, but I am excited about this. And this is not going to just happen in Raleigh. As the Lord, we're looking to do this two or three times a year and going into these communities and going door knocking and witnessing to souls and letting them know that they have churches in the area. They have pastors in the area that care. People not interested in how much you know. They're interested in how much you care. Amen.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And
this
I just want to share
this. God has given us to do, Pastor Hamilton, and not just coming together to preach and teach to one another who on the schedule to preach, who on the schedule to teach. It ain't about that. It's about souls. Who can we go out into the highway and the hedges and compel somebody to come? Who can we encourage and let them know that God loves them? Look at Evangelist Phillips say, just a telephone call, just a 50 cent, you can go to the dollar store and buy a greeting card, a thinking of you card for 50 cents and buy a 45 cent stamp that's less
that's right.
than a dollar and drop
that's
it
right.
in the mail to let somebody know that I care about you. See,
that's
we talk
right.
a
Amen.
Lot of caring with our lips. Hallelujah. But the Bible say, love not my brother just in word, but you got to love in deed.
There has
to be some deed. And we don't ask for much on this line. Even the speakers, I got to say this as I'm being lit. We don't ask nobody to sow into the speakers' lives. They do this as a free will offering to God. But when the man and the women of God sow into your lives, don't sow and bless another man's ministry. And the people that are ministering to you every day, we won't even sow into them.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. That's all right.
Pastor
That's
all Hamilton
right.
is doing this as a free offering as unto the Lord, and God supplies his needs. Amen. So
Amen.
We're not on here for that. We're on here to encourage, inspire, enlighten, and empower, and provoke people to their purpose in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. So I just love him today. I'm excited about this crusade. And you're going to start seeing some. If you're on Facebook, you'll be seeing. I know they get tired of me posting, but that's all right. I'm posting to win souls. I ain't posting
right.
to make no date. I ain't posting
that's
to
right.
go to the club with you. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And you know, I want you guys to be in prayer with us for the Mother's Day weekend. We're doing a crusade in Fifth Ward. It's a urban, low-income area in Houston, and we're doing a Mother's Day crusade. We're going to minister to the mothers of Fifth Ward. We're going to give away gift bags. We have an evangelist coming in from Michigan that's going to give away over 300 of her books.
Look at God.
And we just want you guys to be in prayer with us. We got donations of flowers coming. We're going to give them a flower. We're going to let them really know that they're loved. Even though most of their kids are running the street
all
and
right.
doing things that they want to do, but we want to encourage the mothers that all of their good work is about to come to pass.
Wow. Send us that information, Pastor Hamilton, inbox.
Oh, I will.
And let me know, and I'll start announcing that every day on the broadcast.
Good deal. I will send you the information. I should have the final flyer today, and I'll get that information to you this weekend.
That is a blessing. Now, that's what you call working for the kingdom of God. Going where the people at. You know, low income. They may have children ripping and running the street and won't even be able to buy them a 50-cent card. But look how
that's
God
right.
is bringing this man and the woman of God that's coming and give away 300 books. This is a sacrifice. That's what life is about. Sacrificing. It ain't about staying in your glass houses with your 7,500-inch screens. Come on now.
Come on now.
Wait, Pastor Hamilton. I wish I had one to watch the playoffs. Because I love basketball. But guess what? When it comes down to doing the work for the Lord, I'm going to turn off the TV, and I'm doing what God has given me to do.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
So we just thank God for all of you. Evangelist Phillips, we love you. D. be encouraged. We love you, and we pray for you on this line. Hallelujah. And we miss not seeing you. Hey, glory to God. So we know God is doing a work in your life. And Sister Kim, God for you. Sister Donna, ooh, Sister Patrice, all of you, Sister Tammy, just been on the line every day this week. We appreciate you all so very, very much. It is encouraging to me to see women and men on the line that's listening and trying to go higher in the Lord. We're not in here. We ain't. It, numbers don't move me. The only numbers move me is the two or three that the Bible says. When it's two or three, so if I see two on here, hey, God, I know my prayer's going to be answered, because the factual fervent prayers of the righteous.
Righteous men. Much.
God bless you, Pastor Hamilton. Send me that information. We're gonna flood Facebook with it, and we will be announcing that about the Mother's Day weekend and the tribute that you're doing there in Houston, Texas. God bless you. We're going to close out, Pastor Hamilton, if you can close us out with a word of prayer, and then we're going to close out with I Don't Mind Waiting by Juanita Bynum. At
Amen.
The request of the hostess, Sister Ruby, who's home I'm in today. I have to do that for her.
Well, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you again, Lord, first of all, for the unity and the spirit that is abound right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we touch and agree, that as we speak the same language, and as we pray the same prayers, that as we do the same work, Lord, that you will have your way in our life. Lord, let us decrease as you increase. Lord, have your way and your way only. We totally give you our lives. We totally give you our sacrifice. We totally give you our worship and our praise, that you alone are worthy. So we thank you today. We praise you and we glorify you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You all have a blessed weekend. You just gave me an idea. I need to get some donations and do something to the family.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting.
Listen to you. We'll see y'all around in the morning.
On the Lord.
Thank you, Evangelist Phillips.
I don't mind waiting.
God bless you, woman of God.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. Oh, Lord. I
don't mind waiting.
I don't mind. I'm going to wait.
Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you. Love you with the love of God. All right, Sister Donna.
Minister Coleman.